Okay, the reading is from Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Thank you. So we're at the end of our series today. So what's left? Anyone tell me?
Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God.
Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Anyone know what spiritual gift is left? Ooh. Okay, so we've done the helmet of salvation, where we talked about words of knowledge and wisdom and protecting our minds. We have our belt of truth, which was...
Is your microphone on?
I don't know, I got handed it. Is it not? Oh, no. I don't normally turn this on. I just get handed it. Is that better?
Yay!
A bit loud, even for me. So, helmet of salvation, words of knowledge and wisdom, belt of truth, prophecy, shield of faith. What did we do with that one? Spiritual gift of faith. We have our shoes fitted with the gospel, our feet to be fitted with the gospel of peace, which was gifts of healing and miracles. And then we had the breastplate of righteousness. What did we put with that? Come on, guys, that was only last week. Speaking in tongues and interpretation. Thank you for saving me there, I appreciate that. So, we are left with a sword and the discernment of spirits. Now, I have also had conversations over the past few weeks of a number of people saying to me, "We've never heard all of this before and it's a little bit uncomfortable. And you're making me feel weird, and I've had lots of descriptive words used for it." Now, I understand that what I have been talking about, if you've not heard before, can be a little bit difficult to get your mind wrapped around. Okay? There's also the feeling of, what is this weird, wacky stuff about spirits and warfare and evil spirits and good spirits and all this? And what is this Holy Spirit who makes me speak a funny language and tells me weird things? I understand it, believe me. When I became a Christian, I could not run fast enough away from any teaching on the Holy Spirit, because guess what? It weirded me out too. But I'm also very aware that when we do learn and do accept God's blessing to us of the Holy Spirit, our life can move in amazing ways through the power of God. So I'm going to keep weirding you out and making you uncomfortable, as I promised. So we have a sword. Who's got a sword? Aha, you've got a sword. Thank you very much. We have a sword.
I got a sword.
Mark is looking very nervous right now. I have a sword. And guess what? This isn't a Roman sword either. Live with it. I have a sword. Why would I drop it? On my head. Shouldn't you be more worried I drop it on? Now, this doesn't look like all the other bits we've done. Does it? Will somebody pour some water over my husband, please? Okay. This piece of armor is not like the other ones, is it? Why, what's different about it? Yes, it's a weapon. It looks a bit lethal. Excellent. We like something a little bit lethal, don't we? Do we? Because aren't we Christians and aren't we supposed to be nice and passive and be nice and kind and loving? Not necessarily passive. But don't we think like that? We're not allowed to get angry. We're not allowed to fight. We're allowed to get angry in justice. Excellent. I like to hear this. But don't you think it's a bit of an odd thing, a sword to go with armour? No? Excellent. Why do you think there's a sword? Sorry? What was that? Otherwise, you're completely defensive. Have you been reading my notes? So, I will stop waving this around so you can feel better, all right? Somebody did suggest we should have done a stormtrooper. Oh, no, that's true. They don't, do they? Okay, so we have our sword. And yes, everything else in the armour is defensive. Is God defensive? No. God calls us to step out. God calls us to advance. God calls us to share his kingdom. So if we're hiding behind our helmet and our breastplate and our belt and our shoes and our shield and we're there quivering away waiting for the enemy to stop attacking, we're not being very productive, are we? That's why we also have the sword of the Spirit. A sword that is the word of God. And the reason we have this morning, Jesus is using scripture to answer the devil. So we've talked about those voices in our head that tell us things that we know aren't true, but we quite like to believe, don't we? You're not worthy to do this. Why would you think you're any good at this? And I know I'm not the only one that gets these, because I've had other conversations about that too. Those voices are there attacking us, trying to get us to not step out for what God has for us. And we have a sword to cut them down, which is the word of God. So, if I said to you, I'd like you to put your hand up if you read your Bible, there are three reactions. One, you read it regularly and therefore you put your hand up and you're quite comfortable with that. Two, actually you're not very comfortable even answering the question. So you don't. Or you don't read your Bible, but you put your hand up because somebody's going to judge you for the fact you don't. Not fibbing, am I? Those are the reactions, so I'm not going to ask you. But it's a good thing to do, believe it or not. Because there can be certain verses that you can read and know and learn that you can use against that voice in your head that's telling you that you are useless and that you're not loved, that you can't possibly be a minister, be in the worship band, read the Bible out in church, pray out loud, move in the gifts of the Spirit. Because you're not worth that, are you? You are, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Scripture. It's one that's good for a lot of things. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you and loves you who you are, as you are. So we use the words of the Bible like Jesus did to fight and to advance in God's kingdom. But the devil said it the first time, and Jesus answered him, but the devil changed how he did it, didn't he? Did you notice? What did the devil do the second time? He used the word of God. How often has somebody spoken to you, or preached, or used the Bible, and it really makes you feel awful? I can't be the only one that's ever happened to. The good one for me, hearing quite a lot at the moment, is women are supposed to keep quiet in church. Whoops. Even before I was a minister, I was never quiet in church. You might be surprised to hear. But what Jesus does is answers the devil because he's not using scripture correctly. So just because someone quotes scripture at you doesn't mean they're right. Surprise, surprise. Because if you read the passage that where Paul tells women to keep quiet in church, if you go to the previous sentence, Paul is telling women to prophesy in church. So he tells women to prophesy in church, which I'm pretty sure you have to speak to do. And then he tells you not to speak in church. Bit like Boris Johnson. Okay, that's going to be even funnier when I go to the next bit of what is Paul contradicting himself like Boris Johnson? Do you think that's what he's doing? Or do you think we've misunderstood? Because actually, if you go to the original script of scripture before translation, in Hebrew and Aramaic, it isn't women shouldn't talk in church. What it actually says is women shouldn't gossip in church. You had women who were included in worship and had never, ever been allowed to. Jewish women tend to sit some in a separate room or in a balcony behind a screen. They weren't included in the service, so they tended to end up catching up with everyone. It was a bit like a coffee morning with no coffee. Then all of a sudden they're included. They're asked to prophesy. They're asked to preach. Good grief, this is radical. But when have you last heard that Paul is radical for women? That's not what you hear, is it? You hear that he's a misogynist, hates women. And actually, that's not true if you look at the context of what he's writing. Because he's saying, I want women in church. I want women actively partaking in church. But what I don't want you to do is sit at the back and gossip, which is what you've been doing for millennia beforehand. That's radical, isn't it? And we've also gone from taking our sword of the word of God into discernment spirit. So yeah, discernment can be made into spiritual warfare and finding evil spirits behind every bush and bushel. But actually, it starts with knowing when something's right or not. If somebody is talking to you about scripture and it's not just that it makes you uncomfortable, there's a difference, isn't there? When we're challenged and we feel uncomfortable, that's different to kind of feeling really uncomfortable of, I'm really not sure about what you've just said. Question it. If you've got somebody telling you, and you've all heard me say this, this is what the Bible says you should. No. Is that what the Bible says? Is that really what it says? Do you know your Bible well enough to know the context it's written in, to understand what is being said to who, for what reason? The Bible is a living, breathing book. And when you start to study it, it's a bit like Narnia. You open the book and you get in the wardrobe. Because it's rich. And it makes such an impact on our lives when we realise there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. No matter what we do, God pours out his grace and his blessing. No matter what our circumstances, we can celebrate boogie and be full of joy. I don't see a downside. But people will tell you, the Bible says. The Bible says you shouldn't have too much fun in church. That's not reverent enough. Does the Bible say that? No. Does the Bible say I can't be a minister? No. Now, I could go on a very long road down here, but I'm not going to this morning. Do you ever meet someone and think, I don't know you, but I don't really trust you? And you have absolutely no reason for saying that. Now, there are some times where your experience can make you distrust certain people. All right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you meet someone, they seem really, really nice, and there is nothing at all that would say to you, don't trust this person. But somewhere in here, you have a comfortable feeling, and you're like, you know what? And it just niggles. And the more you try and get rid of it, the better it gets. Just don't trust you. And I don't know why. I have learned in my life that when I feel like that, I pray about it. And if it doesn't go away, I trust it. Now, that doesn't mean I ostracize that person, never speak to them, or keep them at arm's length. I just keep them. I don't hug them. It's the best way I can describe it. There is a wariness because I know and have learned how the Spirit speaks to me, and it's normally right here. I start to feel sick and I start to feel uncomfortable, and it won't go away, and I didn't eat bad chicken the night before. You learn to to listen to the voice of God. You learn to listen to the Spirit of God. So the discernment side of it is, what is your motive behind what you are saying to me? If you tell me that as a woman, I'm disobeying scripture because the Bible tells me I'm not allowed to speak in church, I have my the word of God to be able to go, yeah, but the Bible also tells me I am uniquely and wonderfully made. I'm a creation of God. I'm a daughter of God. Hey, I'm a princess. Woohoo! My dad is the King of Kings. My dad rules over the entire world. How often do we say that to ourselves? Our dad is the King of Kings over everything. There is nothing that happens, nothing that's done that he doesn't know about. There's nothing that you cannot stand against in God and in his Spirit. Nothing. Woohoo! Nothing at all. I'm not saying it'll be really easy in a piece of cake, by the way, because a sword isn't a butter knife, is it? It's sharp. It does damage. So there's nothing that you can't stand against. As long as you know who you are. As long as you know you are a son or daughter of God, and he's got such a life for you, full of blessings and adventures and excitement. Do you get the message, or am I just talking to myself? Don't you think that's awesome? I'm talking to her. Thanks, Marion. I love you too, darling. And the fact you said that, no, I know I'm not. It's just awesome. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? You're a princess or a prince? You're a prince. Did you know that? He's a princess. Okay, let's leave that conversation for another day, shall we? Your dad's a king. He rules over everything. And you have that inheritance. Which means you rule over everything. Ooh, that's a bit dangerous. But do we understand it? Do we know it in ourselves? Now, you see, Peter, who was to start the church, thought he knew it. He'd studied his scriptures. He knew the laws of Moses. He'd met Jesus. He'd lived with Jesus. He'd betrayed Jesus. He'd been forgiven by Jesus. And then one day, he has a vision, and God says, all this food that you think's unclean isn't. And Peter, being Peter, who I love so much, turns around and goes, surely not, Lord. Or, are you sure about that, God? Now, I can relate to Peter, because I did the same thing when God told me I was to be a minister. I'm like, surely not, you've got to be kidding me, right? And God turns around and says, do not call anything impure what God has made clean. Hang on a minute. There are laws that all these people have in their scripture, and it tells them what they can and cannot eat. And they are told that is how they are to live. And then this crazy man turns up and tells everyone the law is an ass. I quote. That people who follow the law and study the law are a den of vipers. Hang on a minute. So if you're really religious, you're a viper. That's not very nice, is it? Do you see what I'm saying? All of a sudden, everything they would have stood up and said, the Bible says, and Jesus is going, does it? And not only Jesus as well, God is now turning to Peter and going, you know the Bible as this. Guess what? you've got it wrong. And actually, this is what I meant. That feels a bit of an unsafe place to be, don't you think? Because aren't we told scripture's the truth? And how do we know the truth if I'm now telling you that actually it's living, breathing, and develops? And God came down and told Peter he got it wrong. Does that mean I've got it wrong? Does that mean you've got it wrong? Our hearts need to be in line with God. And the only way we can do that is through the Spirit of God and by this amazing book that we do not use to batter over anyone's head with. Anyone heard that expression before? Anyone in here a Bible basher? Because if you are, right, come and talk to me later. And I'll batter you. This book is not to batter someone over the head with. This book is not to go, you must, you should. Jesus died on the cross, which we celebrate next weekend, and rose again, so nobody can tell you, you should, you have to. Because guess what? We live under the grace of God. And we're awesome and wonderfully made. Woohoo! And no matter what we do, God loves us and has grace for us and blessing for us. And out of that love and grace and blessing, don't you want to do what he'd like you to do? It's not you should. It's not you have to. It's just love. Beyond anything you can ever imagine. So think about the person who's loved you the most in all your life. And multiply it by a trillion. And guess what? You still haven't got how much God loves you. God loved you so much, he died on a cross for you. He rose again for you. And he gives you amazing freedom, as long as you know what this is about. Whenever you read this, ask God to show it to you. Because every time you read it, there'll be something different, won't there, Alison? We have great fun in the office reading Bibles sometimes. Because we think we know something and then something else pops up, hey? And it's great. Meet with friends. Do that. Open the Bible and go, God, what have you got for us today? Let's have a look. What can you show me that I don't understand? Show me something new. Show me something exciting. Show me something that will set the flame inside of me alight again because I'm tired. Life's hard. Life's tough. Set the flame up again so that I can get out of bed tomorrow. So that I can share how amazing you are. This book is live. It is there to give you life. Not to batter you over the head with. And that is the sword you've got. Because if you stand and go, I am a child of God, my daddy's king, get away. We're taking this city for God. We're going to tell people outside of this church that they are valued, awesome, and wonderfully made, and introduce them to their dad, who's King of Kings. Woohoo! Let's not keep it to ourselves. Let's share it. That is where our sword of the Spirit comes from. And our discernment is knowing when someone is trying to rob us of that, trying to rob us of the passion, the love, and the pure awesomeness of my dad. So when you start to feel uncomfortable, when somebody is saying something to you, ask God. Just say that little prayer in your head. God, what's going on here? Is this my experience shadowing how I see this person? Or are you trying to tell me something? Now, when I was baptized in the Spirit, one of the things I asked for comes under discernment of spirits, although it's slightly different. Because I asked God to allow me to see people as he sees them, not how we see them. And it's mind-blowing. When you see someone and you look at someone with human eyes, you see their life experience, you see the problems in their life, you see the difficulties they have, whatever they may be. When you look at them through God's eyes, you see who they really are, despite the problems, despite the circumstance. And you can then walk alongside them and show them that too. Because, again, we can use our sword to protect those who can't protect themselves. And just as I prayed when we started the service, God bless you with anger for injustice, oppression, and the exploitation of people. Now, that might be somebody in your college, in school, that's being picked on. That might be somebody at work who never seems to get stuff right and everybody avoids. Get alongside them. There could be a very good reason why they're not able to do their job at the moment. There may be circumstances in their lives that are just too difficult to overcome by themselves. And at the moment, we as a church are going through that with Brenda. But we're there for one another. We've got hold of that sword to declare the truth that Brenda is a daughter of God and is heading for an amazing party beyond anything we can imagine. But we're there for one another. We walk alongside each other. So this week, I'd like you to try at some point during your week, find 5 minutes. Open your Bible and ask God to reveal something that you've not seen before. Hey, if you've got the time, do it with a friend. It's even more fun. Ask God to show you and reveal to you the truth that is in his scripture, the truth that can be your sword to strengthen you when things are tough. Let us pray. We come before you, Lord, to pray for those who are struggling, who have come to the end of their resources, who are sick in mind or body. We pray for those who are homeless and rootless. For wherever life feels like walking on consistently shifting sands, we pray for those families who are in conflict with each other and in conflict with those around them. Wherever division is wasting time and energy and is becoming a blot on our lives, for those who feel they cannot forgive, and for those who need to feel forgiveness, we pray for those who feel like they are running on the spot and getting nowhere, who are looking for a path to open up before them so that they may move forward. We pray that wherever we have become cynical
or bitter, or failed to see the good all around us. And we pray, Lord, for each and every one here and in our lives, that we will recognize in every day the blessing of that day and everything in it. Lord, within all the circumstances around the world, we pray for your hand upon it, for the truth to break through, because you are the King of Kings, and each of us, each and every one of us on this planet is valued by you. Lord, hear us, we pray. Amen.